Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. And it's time for Ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross, and then the best question wins the KSN polo shirt. If you want to submit a question for Ross, it's really easy. You just have to download our app, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Ross button, or you could email us at info@ksnsports.net. Ross, are you ready for our questions?
I am.
All right, I gave you a little bit of a foreshadowing. Apparently, our Notre Dame discussion last week, a lot of listeners responded to it. Let me just put it that way. First, we have Jason from Huntington just said, Ross busting on Jim pronouncing Notre Dame was epic. Always wondered why he said it that way, but hey, to each their own, I guess. Carry on. So in other words, Jason doesn't even want a question answered. He just wanted to admire you for busting me, okay?
I'm happy with that. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Next up, Steve, who, by the way, was the one who sent in the comment about my pronunciation, he comes back with this. Jim, on note, actually, he spelled it Notre Dame deal. I'm only joking. I love, love, love the show. But then he proceeds, Ross, to ask this question, where I think his goal is to see how often I could say those words. Steve asks, Ross, so glad Penn State could beat out Notre Dame to get Nicholas Singleton. It seems Penn State and Notre Dame are frequently going head-to-head with high-level recruits. What attributes do the athletes have in common when it comes down to selecting between Penn State and Notre Dame? He tried to figure out how many times he could get me to say it in one question.
Well, first of all, we talked about Nick Singleton last week. He is a special, special player. I'd be surprised if he didn't do big things at Penn State, although you never know. Sometimes guys don't. But that was a huge get for Penn State. I mean, Ohio State wanted him. Alabama wanted him. You know, Penn State doesn't win a ton of battles, Jim, against Alabama and Ohio State. So when they get a guy in Georgia that those schools wanted, that's huge for them. I don't know why they go head-to-head with Notre Dame a lot. I think, quite frankly, it's because Notre Dame recruits Pennsylvania a lot and recruits Pennsylvania pretty well, especially Western PA lately. Notre Dame has gotten a lot of guys from Western PA. You know, the Pittsburgh Central Catholic kids and otherwise, Dracovic from Pine Richland, the old lineman from Pine Richland the year after. So I think that's as big a reason as any, probably, is just that Notre Dame recruits Pennsylvania pretty hard and has a decent amount of success doing it.
All right, let's go to Jared in Talmadge, Ohio, who says, as someone who watched LeSean McCoy shred his high school in the District 3 playoffs in 2004, I remember leaving the game thinking, if that's not an NFL player, I don't know what is. In your time, Ross, watching high school tape, what players gave you that kind of reaction? And can you think of any guys on tape that you watched where you weren't impressed, but who developed into great college and NFL players?
Well, so I guess he's just talking about guys I've seen over the years, because he's not talking about guys I played with or against way back in the day. Because that's a totally different scenario. You know, Jim, I would tell you a guy that people watched and would never have thought would be an NFL player, me. I mean, at no point in my high school career did anybody ever say anything like, man, maybe you could play in the NFL someday. 10th grade, Jim, I was 6'1", 170. 11th grade, 6'3½, maybe 210. Junior year, 6'4½, 240. But at no point did I have the physical characteristics. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you before you went on to answer the rest of the question, what do you think it was? What attribute did you have that scouts and coaches didn't see that ended up making you an NFL player, Ross?
Well, it was primarily physical development. So I just was a late bloomer. In other words, I think if my parents had like held me back like a lot of these kids do, you know, I was 17 my senior year of high school football. If I was 18, Jim, that would have meant my junior year I was 245, and my senior year I was more like 265, 270. Then I think I would have been an FBS player, probably gotten scholarships to Duke or Northwestern, you know, something like that, right? I still don't know that they would have said he's going to be an NFL player, because I think they would have wondered, would I ever get big enough? Mm-hmm. But I kept getting big enough. The things that you can't tell on a high school video that make a significant difference at the next level are football intelligence, meaning just how well you understand the game conceptually and can make the calls and understand angles. And I think you could tell this a little bit on my video, but it got even more as I got older. I just played with an edge that really can be a differentiator.
Gotcha.
You know, I knew that was kind of my calling card. And that was something I needed to do to stand out. So I was willing to play more violently, more physically than pretty much anybody else. And if you can ask my teammates, you can ask my coaches, both in college and the NFL. Nick Singleton looks like an NFL player. Micah Parsons in ninth grade looked like an NFL player. Terrell Pryor, first time I saw him, he was a junior. I was like, if that guy's not an NFL player at some position, I don't know who is. Those are just some Pennsylvania guys that jump out to me that I've seen in recent years. I'm trying to think about guys that made it that maybe I didn't think that. Well, I'll give you an example. Alex Anzalone from my high school, you know, as a sophomore in high school, Jim, he was 6'1", 165, and played corner. And you never would have thought this guy will be a 6'4", 240-pound NFL linebacker. So I think usually the guys that you wouldn't think that are really the guys that are kind of late bloomers physically.
Gotcha. All right, let's go to Frank in Bradenton, Florida. He says, I listened to every podcast. Thank you, Ross, and the guys for so many insights through the years. With name, image, and likeness, will Penn State football program reconsider putting players' names on the uniforms, do you think?
That is a very interesting question, because that is absolutely an opportunity for monetization. I think it's something that James Franklin and the staff will consider. My guess is ultimately they don't do it, because as everybody else will be doing everything they can to try to monetize this and monetize that. I think my strategy, if I were Penn State, would be to go the other way. You know, my strategy would be, look, there are plenty of ways that we're going to monetize your son with name, image, and likeness. But on the field on game day, we're a team. And it's about the team and winning. It's not about, you know, name, image, and likeness. And that will probably fall on deaf ears for some kids, and other kids will gravitate towards it.
Ross, I've read even national media talking about this and the teams that don't have the names on the back. I think Notre Dame was mentioned, USC, and saying they thought this is going to have to happen for these teams. But I was just wondering, how critical is that for name, image, and like, you know, if when you saw Trace McSorley in his blue and white uniform, you knew it was Trace McSorley. You didn't need his name on the back.
Correct. I agree. And it's always been that way. I will say this. I think there's a lot of value in going to your in-state school, and that will both benefit and hurt Penn State at times. But Nick Singleton is going to get more money from companies in Reading playing for Penn State than playing anywhere else. Now, I don't know how much money that is, Jim. I don't know if it's significant. I don't know if it makes a difference. But if you have a business in Reading and you want Nick Singleton to come for an autograph session, a lot more people are coming to your business, your car dealership on a Saturday or Sunday, if he's the star running back at Penn State than if he's at Alabama Notre Dame. There will still be people that come if he's Alabama Notre Dame. It's not the same.
Don't you think also not just Nick Singleton is a very high-level player. We hope he'll be a great player at Penn State. But don't you think that also holds true for the players that may not be elite college players, but, hey, they came out of Reading, they were a star in Reading because they made it to Penn State football. I don't know if Michael Mennett, say, is a perfect example because he's an offensive lineman, but won't get the same notoriety in college as a running back would. But I'm sure Reading was very proud of Michael Mennett.
Yes, he's still a Penn State starter, and he's still from Reading, and you get to meet a guy that they see on TV for Penn State. Absolutely.
Okay, I don't think we have time for another question, Ross, so I'm going to put it on you to pick out a winner. Just as a reminder, Jason didn't have a question, but he was just happy with you busting on me. Steve was our Notre Dame guy. Jared asked about what players that you saw that you figured would be NFL players when you saw their high school tape. And the last question was from Frank, who asked about putting the names on the uniforms. Who's your winner?
I think Frank. I thought that was a really good question, that last question, because that's a question I'm sure the Penn State coaches are talking about.
They have to, Ross. And I just think there's so much unknown yet with name, image, and likeness. We saw what Miami did. I'm sure if players start going to Miami, we're going to see the exact same thing happening everywhere else. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. That is it for quarter number three and Ask Ross. Stick around. Andy returns for quarter number four. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.